Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Football Focus Podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. We are now kind of into the thick of high school football season around here. A lot of stuff happened, a lot of interesting games, very interesting one in Barrington last week, and some good ones on tap for this week as well.
Yeah, last week was kind of the first week where things started to separate a little bit. Yeah. You know, we try and figure out what's going on around the state initially, but really it's all just kind of guessing game at that point. But now that we're a couple weeks into it, we can see where teams are starting to fall a little bit, and it's a little bit surprising at this point. Cranston East lost last week. I don't think either of us really saw that coming. So, you know, it's not all formulaic. There are some upsets, and things are moving around a little bit.
Yeah, two of the top three teams in the preseason poll are no longer second and third. East dropped to fourth, LaSalle now in fifth after they had lost 2 weeks ago. So a lot of things happen.
Yeah, and Barrington, with the win over East, got a first place vote.
Yep.
And that's a team that, you know, graduated its best player last year. And I know we didn't necessarily think it was going to be a top four team, but here they are at 2-0. So yeah, a lot of things going on.
Yeah. So let's get right to it for the fourth week of high school football season. Our game of the week has LaSalle visiting Cranston West on Friday, 7 o'clock at Cranston Stadium. It's a D1 showdown. West is 0-2. LaSalle is 1-1. I think maybe Cranston West isn't in the mix to be a playoff team, but they've played now the second and third ranked teams in the state in Division One, and they've also beaten Cumberland, who's the top ranked D2 or second best D2 team according to the poll. So I don't think you can count West out yet, especially considering what they did last year when they lost their first four games and won their next three. You know, this is a team that could very well do the same thing, and this would be a very good chance for them to start that. Start on that similar road.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone really knows just how good LaSalle is at this point.
Yeah,
you know, with so many new faces out there, we know they're talented, and you know the guys are pretty good. But they lost really big in Portsmouth in that first week. Their loss to Portsmouth was substantially worse than West's loss to Portsmouth was.
True.
I mean, it's not apples and apples, but you know, I mean that did happen. And then LaSalle came back last week and blew out Tolman and kind of put up the standard LaSalle type numbers with a huge offense. Few different guys touching the ball, and they scored 41 points. West is tough to figure out because they've played Barrington pretty tough. That was a 21-7 game and one that was tied at halftime. And as we mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, Barrington beat Cranston East. Barrington has a first place vote. I mean, Barrington is obviously a really, really quality team at this point. So West is 0-2. How bad is their 0-2 though? Maybe not terrible. The defense has been good, but the same way it's been last year. The offense really, really hasn't been there. And with now five Division I teams as the top teams in the poll, including LaSalle, and with West already having lost two of those teams, if they lose to LaSalle, they'll be down a tiebreaker to three potential playoff teams, and they'll be 0-3. So they're in not a must-win, because if they go 5-3, they'll probably make the playoffs, but close to a must-win if they do want to keep it alive.
Absolutely. The thing that stands out about West, and I mean it is to some extent just looking for silver linings, but they allowed significantly fewer points to Barrington and Portsmouth than Barrington and Portsmouth have been capable of scoring. You know, Barrington shoot out with Cranston East and they scored 21 against Cranston West. Portsmouth, huge numbers against LaSalle and they scored 28 against Cranston West.
27.
Yep. So you can look at that and say West can play a defensive game and they can slow down a team. And I think against LaSalle, they showed last year that they're capable of doing that. So I think it's a situation where if West can play defensively and do what they do, if they can get any offense going at all, this is a team I think they can hang with.
Yeah, this team in particular, because they are so young and there's so many new guys. I mean, one constant for them that's been there the last couple of years is Keon Wilson, who's a receiver. Got a little bit overshadowed, I think, last year and maybe even the year before by Tyneal Cooper and Mitch Da Silva last year. But he's really been good. He's been good for a few years now, and he's their best you know, option on the outside. You know, when they get the ball in his hands, he's a big-time playmaker. But other than him, a lot of the guys are new and a lot of the guys are young. And West has new guys, but they're not all young guys. There's guys that have been there. They're guys that have played and played well at this point in the season, like we said. So it's sort of the matchup where if they can fluster LaSalle a little bit or get under their skin a little bit early, you would think that sort of the more veteran West team could take advantage of their strength, whereas the younger LaSalle team that's still kind of learning on offense and trying to feel its way might struggle a little bit. I mean, that would be a perfect scenario for West if that sort of thing could happen. Obviously, there's no guarantee that will happen, but I would think that's the game plan just based on what West's strength has been at this point. You know, really, really try to come out on defense and set a tone. And they might get a boost this week with Jack Hammond coming back. I know he practiced this week. I know they weren't positive if he was going to play or not, but he was their best defensive player in that win over Cumberland, mm-hmm. and then hurt himself against Barrington and didn't play against Portsmouth. So having him back should make that defense better, and it sets up as a game where West should be in it. I mean, they've been in the first two. This is might be the weakest opponent they've played, even though it's LaSalle and they're pretty good. So it's a game that West can win, I think, if things fall their way.
I think the Falcons wouldn't mind a little rain last year against LaSalle. It was kind of a monsoon, and West used that and kind of turned it into a defensive game. Lost only 28-17. It was as close as anybody came to LaSalle.
Winning in the second half, I think.
Yeah, they were leading in the second half. So, I think, you know, if things bounce West's way, they've got a shot to do a similar thing, and maybe, you know, facing a young team this year, maybe West pulls it out. So.
Yeah,
it's possible. We are going to take LaSalle in this one, just based on early resumes, 22-12. All right, moving on, we've got a matchup between two of our area teams, Tollgate visiting Johnston on Friday at 7 o'clock. Tollgate is 0-2, has struggled, but maybe some bright spots last week against Coventry. Johnston, meanwhile, went 0-1 to start league play, and a 14-0 loss to Woonsocket. People seem to be down on them for some reason, and they came out and just blew out Mount Hope last week, 43-6, and put themselves firmly back into the conversation as a D2 title contender, I think.
Yeah, because it wasn't like they blew out Charahoe, who I don't think is going to contend in Division 2. They blew out Mount Hope, who people really, really thought was one of the two or three best teams in Division 2 heading into the year. Now, you know, there is a catch. I mean, when Mount Hope's quarterback, Kyle Valenzuela, got hurt early in that game. He plays corner for them, he punts, he kicks, and he's their best offensive player at quarterback. Yep. So when he goes out and doesn't return, it's a huge loss for the Huskies. But still, Johnston took advantage, and one player doesn't completely make a team. And with a score that lopsided, I think it's fairly safe to say that Johnston was going to win that game, even if Valenzuela was playing.
Yep.
So, yeah, a ton of positives to take away from that. And also to rebound after the Woonsocket loss in week one, I think, is a huge positive. Yep. Not to be discouraged at starting out 0-1. And having played so poorly, I mean, they put up 0 points.
Right.
Didn't capitalize on any opportunities.
Yeah.
To kind of put that in the past and capitalize on a ton of opportunities.
And especially for a young team, you know, bouncing back, that's not easy to do for anybody, especially for a team like Johnston where it's almost all new starters. So pretty impressive victory. One of the things that sticks out is their defense in that game. Mount Hope, a good, really good offensive team, and yes, they didn't have Valenzuela, but the Johnston defense allowed just 6 points. Constantinos Kyrios had a big game, and Devin Leary had an interception return for a touchdown. So a lot of those younger guys who haven't seen a ton of time are kind of stepping up for Johnston, which is just what they were hoping for.
Yeah, and they're playing Tollgate in a game that if they beat Mount Hope, they feel like they should probably beat Tollgate, which is not a team that a lot of people predicted to make the playoffs. And Tollgate is 0-2 at this point in the season with that loss to Vets in week one. That was rough. But last week, I don't know if it was a positive. They lost to Coventry 28-8, but I think they would probably tell you it was better than their week one performance. Mm-hmm. The game was close a lot of the way until Coventry kind of broke out late in the game. Tollgate scored this week as opposed to the game against Vets when they couldn't even get on the scoreboard. So baby steps, I guess. But this game itself takes on a little more added importance and kind of has a different storyline with Tollgate's head coach, Matt Mancuso, going back to Johnston where he was a longtime assistant coach.
Yeah, he was an assistant coach for 6 years. And not your average assistant either. When in 2008, when head coach Joe Achardo was ill, Mancuso was the interim head coach, led the Panthers to the Super Bowl in Division III. So that's home for him as far as coaching is concerned. So that'll be an interesting twist. He also comes back with some good news. He just had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday night. So congratulations to Coach Mancuso on that.
Absolutely.
So we think Tollgate, you know, might be able to take some more steps in the right direction, but ultimately Johnston's just going to have a little too much in this one.
Yeah. Where's Johnston ranked here in the poll?
Johnston is 14th.
14th, so they are the third Division 2 team? Fourth Division 2 team. So they're back on the map.
Yeah, they are. So we got the Panthers winning this one 40-18. Moving back to Division 1, we've got Hendricken visiting Tolman on Friday at 7 o'clock. And it's just business as usual for the Hawks at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, the first two wins have been dominant. And they're playing a team that's 0-2, that got blown out last week by LaSalle. Yeah, it's Hendrickson's been rolling along. There's no reason to think they won't, especially with the early season schedule that they have. So, yeah, they're 2-0. Big win over East Province last week. Fairly easy win. Easier than it was over South Kingstown, certainly. I know they had some of the kind of the second string guys in there late in the third quarter, even. So, yeah, they're going to be riding high, feeling good. I mean, they're playing good, solid Hendrickson football. Everyone's scoring on offense. Everyone's touching the ball. And the defense has given up, 21 points in two games, I believe.
Yeah, not a whole lot. Remington Blue, senior running back, has been fantastic. I mean, he had his kind of breakout game in the Super Bowl last year. He was the Super Bowl MVP. I don't know if I expected him to turn into the best running back in the state, but that's what he looks like at this point. Seven touchdowns. And has just really, really shown a tremendous big play ability.
200 yards last week, think, too, on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's been big. And Lee Moses came up with a touchdown last week, showing the explosive potential that he has. Just a lot of weapons that Hendrickson has, and it seems like they're finding a way to use them all, too.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be a little bit healthier, too, than they've been. I know they had lost a few linemen early in the season, that South Kingstown game. Three linemen were knocked out. I'm not sure if they're all going to be returning, but at least one of them is expected back for this game. Another one maybe in another week. So, if you're a team playing Hendrickson and you look at them on film, you go, that's a little bit scary. And then you realize they're going to get a little bit stronger. That's probably even scarier. I'm not sure Tolman is going to do too well in Division One this year, or East Providence, to tell you the truth, just kind of based on what we've seen and what we know about them. But, I mean, Hendrickson's not going to apologize for having to play him. I imagine they're going to go out there and kind of do what they've done the first 2 weeks, and they should. I mean, this is a team that they should handle pretty comfortably.
Yeah. One of the interesting angles to talk about with Hendrickson is the schedule. You touched on it earlier. They play South Kingstown, East Providence, Tolman West in their first four. Right now, those are the bottom four in Division One, according to the poll and the standings.
Yep.
They will end with East, Portsmouth, Barrington, LaSalle, which the top four besides Hendrickson. So it's very interesting to see how Hendrickson handles that. You know, they're getting better now, and then they play the best teams. On the flip side, will they be tested enough to handle things in big moments when they do get those games?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the only two ways to look at it. Can you do enough and gain enough big game experience playing teams that you beat by 30 points every game in order to feel ready for that sort of competitive, intense environment you're going to have when your first game is against Cranston East, those big four that we mentioned.
Yeah.
And that game is going to be huge for both sides. I mean, they played twice last year. East felt like they could have won each of those games, had things kind of fallen their way a little bit. So are you now going to be ready to jump into that environment after this week? You're going to probably win again by 30 or so. And then Cranston West, maybe a little bit closer. We'll see how everything pans out there. But you probably won't have been tested yet. So, I don't know. Can the coaches kind of motivate them to get ready for those four? Or will, after they presumably go 4-0, which we shouldn't give them yet, but they probably will, will they kind of buy into their own hype and think it comes easy? Because I don't think it will come easy against any of those last four teams.
Yeah, regardless, it will be fun in Division One, though.
Yeah,
the latter part of the season.
Absolutely.
But for now, we get the Hawks winning in an easy one, 46-12. Pilgrim taking on Central Friday night, 6 o'clock at Conley Stadium in Providence. Battle of a pair of 0-2 teams. I think Central, it's a little bit of a surprising 0-2. They've been one of the top contenders in D2 the past few years. Pilgrim has had a tough go of it after their non-league win. Lost to NK last week, gave up 52 points, so really, another tough one. But the common thread for both of these teams is they have played some of the best teams, it looks like, based on, the way things have gone so far. They both played tough teams. So it'll be interesting to see which one of these teams can break out first here.
They've taken really similar paths. They're both 0-2, like you said. They've each played Shea. And I don't know, Shea's kind of bursting onto the scene here a little bit. They beat Pilgrim 28-0, and they beat Central 19-0. I mean, I haven't allowed a point in league play yet, and who knows quite how good Pilgrim and Central are, but that's a pretty good statement by Shea to start out. So they both played Shea, and Central also played
Cumberland.
Right? Yeah. It was competitive. Played Cumberland well. It was 25-20,
but
still lost that one, and Pilgrim lost that NK game we just talked about. And Cumberland is the second highest-ranked team in Division Two, and North Kingstown's the third highest-ranked team in D2. So, their schedule hasn't done them any favors, either of them, to start out.
Mm-hmm.
And they might kind of be similarly built. I mean, they both want to run the ball. That's both their strengths. They opened the season in non-league play in a similar way. They both beat a Division IV opponent handily. Pilgrim beat Smithfield. Central beat North Smithfield. So there's actually a lot of similarities. And kind of in the way that we mentioned Cranston West at 0-2, a loss here drops you to 3 losses, and you're not out, but it's going to be hard-pressed to get in.
It's tough. Yep, absolutely. Pilgrim, I mean, if you're looking for positives, they did score 22 against NK, which is, you know, better than the week before.
22 is better than 0.
Yes, 22 is better than 0.
I agree.
By all accounts, I think Pilgrim's still going to be working hard. This isn't a team that's going to be packing it in yet. You know, they're a good group of kids, it seems like, and you know, they'll be looking for a chance to make a statement, and this would be it. This would get them on the map a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, any win at this point would really help out their cause. But one thing to look at is they're not. I mean, they are losing these games fairly handily, but last year they were out of these games quickly.
Yeah,
and you know, they're not. You know, they're not going undefeated at the moment, or they're not just winning a bunch of games, but they are a little bit more competitive, and I think they thought it was going to take a little bit of time for everything to come together. They knew they were improved, and I think they have proven that, even though they haven't been great results. Mm-hmm. They can keep improving. This would be a week to really put that on display.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to take Central in this one, 28-15. Our final game to talk about, a big one in Division II, Vets taking on Coventry on Friday at 7 o'clock in Coventry. The Hurricanes 1-1, back to earth a little bit after a big victory over Tollgate in week one. Coventry, meanwhile, is 2-0, but their schedule has been a little kind. They beat Chero and Tollgate, who figure to be not maybe the best teams in that side of D2. So this is a chance for both of these teams to kind of establish themselves here.
Yeah, Coventry at 2-0 is in first place in the division, along with Woonsocket, but does not have a marquee win.
Yes,
name. I mean, anyone who's going to make the playoffs likely is going to be Chero and Tollgate, just the way it is. That's still under the radar, I would say, because, you know, they beat Tollgate, and again, they're supposed to beat. And then kind of got blown out last week, I guess. It was 27-0, and you were there, so I don't want to speak to it too much, but not a good score in a big game for Vets that they really wanted.
No,
they kind of wanted to prove themselves in.
Yeah, and if people around the state are looking at that score, they're going to say it was a total blowout. It wasn't completely. I mean, it was a bad score, but Vets was very much in that game, and a lot like when Johnston played Woonsocket the week before. Vets got inside the 10 twice in the first quarter, dominated the first quarter field position wise. It was, I think, 2 plays were run in Woonsocket territory in the whole first quarter, and Vets did not score. So that just crushed them and completely changed the game. Woonsocket, to their credit, took full advantage, and Woonsocket has now allowed 0 points in 2 weeks of league play. Vets had some things to build on from that game. They gave up 69 yards rushing to a pretty strong team with some talented running backs. Played really well defensively just in general. Forced a lot of punts, a lot of three and outs. So I don't think it's a setback for Vets, definitely, but I don't think it's a kind of game that just completely knocks them off their path. I think they should still feel pretty confident going into Coventry and knowing that they can win this game.
They got to regroup because, it sounds like that game was closer than 27-0 tells you. But they got to find something on offense a little bit. I mean, I know they had the 35 points against Tollgate, but there were some big plays in that game, and Tollgate has not been particularly stout against the run. And Vets was just kind of bigger and more physical in that game, so they could run. I don't want to say anybody, but all their running backs were pretty effective without being touched a lot or arm tacklings, things like that. You know, the further they go and the better teams they play, I don't think it is going to be that easy to just stick somebody in the backfield and have them run up the middle for 6 yards a pop. They need to kind of establish something, and more specifically, somebody when they get into that 10-yard line, that inside that 20-yard line. Because, you know, we talked about it before, but last year, in the past couple of years, it was TJ Boyajian, and he was the guy, and you needed the score, you gave it to him. Now you can throw it a little bit and get it down there, or Jesse Sidoma breaks out of the pocket and runs it down there, and okay, now it's first and goal at the 8. What do? You pound it up the middle with McDonald, and he gets 2 or 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in third down situations. You increase the likelihood for a turnover. I don't know who they can establish or what sort of game style they can establish to try and score in those situations, but I think they need to come up with something, because right now it seems a little jumbled.
Yeah, and a little one-dimensional with Jesse Sodoma as the best threat running the ball. And he's doing a great job, had over 100 yards last week. But definitely they need someone else to step up. And it just struck me watching that Woonsocket game that they have all the pieces now. It's just about finishing. It's just about making those plays that kind of separate good teams from teams that aren't quite there yet.
Yeah.
So that's what Vets needs. And maybe this is the week they can do it. We've got them winning this one 21-13. And one final game to talk about around the state. We've got an interesting tilt in Division III where Moses Brown is visiting Mount Pleasant on Saturday at 3:30. Both are undefeated. Mount Pleasant has climbed all the way up to 10th in the poll, which is about as high as I can remember a D3 team this early in the season.
Yeah.
Since we've been doing the poll the last few years. So they're very talented, and I think everybody recognizes that. And they beat a Division I team pretty handily a couple weeks ago and beat Burrillville last week, who had just beaten defending champion Middletown. So Mount Pleasant looking like the favorite, but Moses Brown, they're sneaking up there too. They're actually the second-ranked D3 team right now. So
the only other ranked D3 team, I believe. No, EG's in there, too.
Is up there, okay. Too. Yeah, but a definite... good one in Division III.
Yeah, one that'll separate a little bit. I think most people would say Mount Pleasant will win, but Moses Brown has really snuck up on us. I don't think either of us had them in our preseason poll.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job getting to where they are and kind of getting a little notoriety. I mean, I'll have a little more if they win this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's going to do it here for us on the podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will catch up with you next week.